You are now listening to Bigfoot and Beyond, featuring the OG bad boys of Bigfoot, the Dr. Heckle and Mr. Jive of Squatchology, the Chip and Dale of Bigfoot, and I'm not talking about the cartoon. Please welcome your hosts, the Bigfoot celebrity couple, Biff Clobo, better known as Cliff Berrickman and James Bobo Fay.
So yeah, had a good time down in Louisiana.
Yeah, well, let's back up a little bit. How long were you down in Louisiana again? You got there when and got back when?
I was there Sunday through Thursday, so 4 nights.
Oh, wow, that's pretty good. Yeah, did you spend all 4 nights in the field?
No, for Saturday night, because he's a huge Cowboy fan. And
I'm assuming you're talking about football, although I hope not.
Bull. No, he's a huge Dallas Cowboy fan. They're playing, and also Saturday, on Sunday night, there were tornadoes. There were several tornadoes that were coming through the area.
Yeah.
Severe thunderstorms. So we didn't go out Sunday night, which we should have jammed out Sunday afternoon and got those baby prints, because I saw the photos of those 4-inch tracks.
Yeah.
Those were gone the next morning when we got out there.
Oh.
And the big one, the big one that the lady found turned out to be, looked to us like two different human boot tracks going in opposite directions, and then like a pig and a deer stepped side by side, so like almost like four toes across the top at a really weird angle.
Yeah.
There's a ton of pigs in there, like a ton of pigs. There's more pigs than deer.
Okay. This is one of those habitats.
Yeah.
Like Florida, for example, or somewhere like that.
Yeah. And then got to see Boggy Creek down there and went squatching at Boggy Creek that night. So that was a pretty epic night.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't actually at Boggy Creek. We're at the Sulphur River, where the Boggy Creek flows into the Sulphur, because you can't really navigate Boggy.
Yeah. It's kind of small.
Yeah.
Yeah. The whole area where a lot of that stuff happens is the Mercer Bayou. Does the Sulphur River flow into that, or am I mistaken? I don't remember.
Yeah. That's where we were heading. We launched Denny from Monster Mart there in Falk. Documentaries. He told us about another boat launch that was closer, but then there's from that tornado the night before, like a big tree went down and was blocking the river. You couldn't get below this one bridge. So we went the opposite way. Then we went up into an area that's even bigger than Mercer Bayou, spent the night up there. Nothing happened, but it was great habitat.
Yeah. Those boat launches you were mentioning, that kind of makes me wonder, like, if those would be good spots to stake out. Not only here in Washington, for example, or here in Oregon and Washington. Well, actually, in Washington, the reason I brought that up is because I think you are allowed to fish at night in Washington, but not in Oregon. And I was thinking back to you and Bart running into that thing in Hiuchi at the boat launch where people clean their fish.
Right.
And that's also a place where Lori, up there in the Olympic Peninsula, sometimes she used to frequent a place where people clean their fish, and ran into Sasquatch tracks there. So,
yeah,
it might be a good strategy for anybody in those areas where there's a lot of boat launches, especially where people clean fish, et cetera, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. The fish, I think the fish cleaning, yeah, and all the boat launches have trash cans. So
yeah, easy pickings.
Yeah. It's a good spot. Remember that tent story I had where the thing pushed the corner of the tent down?
Yeah. I do.
We went and spent the night in that tent, which is down on Caddo Lake.
It's been set up all this time, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been sitting up there, just sitting there empty. It was in good shape, surprisingly. Like, no animals had come in even through the holes. Like, we were shocked because there's so much stuff around it. Like, there's just the first half hour we were there, there was a bobcat, a mountain lion, deer. And then we went and hiked around for a few hours with the property owners and turned around different places. And then we went back and laid in the tent, and we started getting knocks, and the knocks went up, and next to the property is a horse pasture with a mare that just had a foal, and it had a baby horse, and there's a big stallion in there with them. So it was like a family of three. Man, you could hear the stallion just going crazy, like where the knocks kind of stopped near there and just charging forth. And we were about 100, we were like 100 yards from there. We never heard the knocks come within 100-150 yards of us, but we could definitely hear them moving, you know, as they progressed up the property way. And early that day, or the day before, actually, that day, the day before, the property owner was sitting in his front yard, and across the street away from the bayou, there was the 7-foot reddish brown one. He says grew like a foot in the last year, he thinks, if it's the same one.
Hmm.
They're all different. The ones I see are all different colored. Like the big one's kind of got some gray. The 7-footer, which was a 6-footer, he said last year, like 6 and maybe 6.5 foot part with the year. And he said now it looks 7 foot. If it's the same one, it's a reddish brown, cinnamon kind of color one. The small one's black.
Well, you know what? Now might be a good time to mention to the people who are listening that you went to the same area as the guy that we interviewed last week.
Oh yeah, sure.
It just occurred to me. Yeah, I mean, I started asking you questions, and I guess that's the downside of Bigfoot and Beyond is like, you know, we just hang out and talk, and people listen in, and so sometimes we forget to put things in context for everybody.
I'm guilty.
As charged. Yeah, me too. I'm with you. Yeah, so.
I was with Danny the whole time, so it was good.
Yeah. Well, you know, Bubba, just for the sake of any listeners that discovered this episode first, give us a 30-second breakdown of who Danny is.
Danny's from an old Cajun family there. They've been on the bayou there for a couple hundred years. I mean, they're as deep as it gets, their rootsy Cajun family. And he's lived there his whole life, was a commercial fisherman on Caddo Lake and on the rivers around there for 25 years. And he knows the place like a back of his hand, knows tons of people, dialed in like the community, and great guy to go out with. He's got boats, so that's helpful around there.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, they live right on, I mean, the family lives right on the bayou, right?
Yeah, exactly. And he's got five at their family reunion. There's always like 500 to 600 people there.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's a huge family. I just got a text from Wool Heaters asking if we're coming back in 2021.
The Texas conference. I mean, since we spoke last, well, that's not true actually, but since we spoke with, you know, our public on the podcast last, we went to the Texas Bigfoot conference. So let's talk about that for a minute. I thought it was a pretty good event. I mean, I enjoyed myself. It's always a great time out there. Texans are cool people. There's good food. I'm not sure how good it is for you, but it's good food. I enjoy it. Well, is it meat and deep fried stuff, you know, and I'm not sure how many Texans would disagree with me on that, but it's delicious, but man.
I didn't realize people come from like all over, like three states around. Jefferson's like a destination spot, like VRBOs and antique shops. And it was a beautiful, I was blown away at what a beautiful little town it was.
And supposedly the most haunted town in that part of Texas or all of Texas. Oh.
Yes, and I agree with that now.
Yeah. And so at the conference, it was great. Wool Heater got a good deal for us. That was amazing. So thank you, Craig Wool Heater, for treating us well, because he scored some cool coupon or something or other and got us first class tickets out to Texas. It's not often I get to fly first class, not anymore, at least since the show ended. So that was kind of cool. And you know what made my flight even better? Is you know how some planes they have, like, you know, like most planes have, you know, two seats on one side and two seats on the other. This one had two seats on one side and one on the other. And not only was I in first class, but I got that one seat. Oh my God, it's an introvert's dream.
Seat 2A.
Right. Oh, I think I was 3A or something like that. But nonetheless,
you should see 2A. It's way better.
Well, still, that was awesome. And then, of course, it was always good to hang out with Craig and all the Texan folks. Ken Gerhard was there, and Lyle Blackburn was there, and of course, Craig's better half Tammy was there. She's rad. So, Shelly was there. It was just that's what I get for even starting to name people, because there's too many people to name.
Oh, Lyle, we met Pamela Pierce, the daughter. Yeah, the daughter of Charles Pierce, the producer.
Charles Pierce.
Legend of Boggy Creek.
Yeah. The guy who produced it and filmed it and did it pretty much everything for it.
Yeah, she got it redone. It's being re-released around the country in movie theaters in 4K. I got to see it down there. That was awesome. I was stuck. And she's one of the little girls in the scene where the family gets scared, the mom with the little girls.
Really?
Yeah, she's one of those little girls.
I'm not sure she told me that. That's cool.
Yeah. I ran into her at Monster Mart in Falk. She was dropping off Blu-ray DVDs and T-shirts to sell at the store. Mm-hmm. And we talked to her for like 2 hours. She was a lot of background. God, I'm trying to think. She told us some interesting things I didn't know. Oh, she said that that's not true. She said that her father recorded that Bigfoot call in the swamp, whatever.
Really? Wait. Which the one? Like the one that's like over the. Really? Her father recorded that, and that is an actual Bigfoot call.
Yeah, I said, no, it says in the book that it's a combination of a elephant and a tiger and a lion. She goes, no, because I always said, I don't know how like I nailed that so close, because that's what I heard that first night I had that crazy encounter in 2001. It sounded a lot like that.
Well, I'll be darned. I did not know that. That's cool.
Yeah, she told us some other interesting things. I can't remember exactly what they all were now, but it was cool talking to her.
Yeah, she's totally cool. I met her at another conference a few months back or whatever, and it was good to catch up with her again and hear the progress that's been happening on the movie. I understand that there's a DVD release, and there's a even more expanded DVD release coming down the line in a few months or so.
Yeah, I think that's the Blu-ray one's out right now. I know that.
Nice. I would like to go see that on the big screen again.
It was cool, dude, because I mean, I saw it, and this time it wasn't with a crappy drive-in, like, steel speaker. Those old steel speakers at the drive-in.
Yeah, those are cool, though.
They were the worst sound ever, though.
No, but the most nostalgic sound at the same time.
True. But it was nice hearing it all remastered. That's what she told us. They just got to the audio for the movie just barely in time. Whatever that kind of chrome tape they had it stored on.
Yeah.
Totally deteriorating, and it would have been in 6 months, it would have been forever gone.
Wow. That's the problem with analog. You know, people can love their analog, this and that, records, tapes, cassettes, whatever. I want to record an analog, but that stuff deteriorates. Every analog, anything should be backed up digitally somehow, because digital doesn't, you know, degrade. Right. You can't get rid of zeros and ones. They're there as long as, you know, the memory is. Just don't put your hard drive next to giant magnets and you'll be fine.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, then what else did we do down there? We did a night back at the property where we had the sighting last summer, where I saw that huge one on the therm.
Uh-huh.
We went back there and it was dead quiet, but man, there was something that happened just a half mile away from there with another family member on the other side of the levee. We were on looking north on the south side of the levee, half mile away. They had some encounter with two of them in the wood line, like right next to the where the old family house was.
And when did that happen?
Sometime between when I was there in June and now.
Okay, so it's the summer at some point.
Yeah, summer, early fall, somewhere in there. But no one's ever out there. Then the only other time Danny went back there, he brought his son-in-law out with him, and they got a loud, loud power knock from sort of near where we had seen the one that night.
Yeah. Well, they got an active area, you know? People ask me, I mean, I'm sure they ask you all the time, like, where's the best place in America to go Bigfooting? It's like, well, where the Bigfoots are.
Right.
It could be anywhere. It could be in Louisiana. You know, it could be in Kentucky. It could be in Oregon. It could be wherever. But like the Bigfoots have to be there, accessible, near a family or people or a researcher that's aware of them. And the Bigfoots have to like not care so much and stay in the area and, you know, not mind the people, perhaps.
Agreed. Yeah. That is a hot spot, man. That whole Texarkana down through Sam Houston State Forest, all along that Sabine River and Lake Charles and that whole zone, Zwali, all the way down. And we were, Danny's been looking into more stuff down. It's pretty funny, dude. He started listening to a bunch of Dogman stories the last 2 years.
Uh-huh.
He went out and bought a freaking hand cannon, dude, a 460 Smith & Wesson mag.
Okay.
It's like the most powerful knockdown hand cannon you can buy. Like,
it's like those big grizzly guns or whatever.
Yeah. People hunt elephants with it.
But it's a handgun.
It's like the most powerful handgun you can buy, like standard, like whatever stock handguns. It's more powerful than the Smith & Wesson 500 mag.
Okay. Now, I don't know about numbers and brands and all that stuff. You know, I have firearms, so I'm not a gun guy, as I like to say. But I always think back at that one giant gun that Terry brought to Bluff Creek that year. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, this one bigger.
Bigger than that one?
Yeah.
Well, all right. Now, does that have like a long barrel, or would that sort of thing be accurate, or is it just like a security blanket?
Yeah, it's got like a 10 or 12 inch barrel on it.
Oh, okay. So it is quite accurate. This, because I think the ones that I've seen have you not quite snub nose, but not really long enough for something that powerful.
Right, like a 4-inch barrel or something.
Yeah.
But he was listening to too many Dogman stories, so he bought that thing.
Yeah, I would say in general, if you're buying firearms, there's a possibility, like of that size, maybe you have listened to a little bit too many Dogman stories, you know? Unless you're just a gun hobbyist, in which case I understand.
You know, what's funny, dude, is that when I was listening to all those Dogman stories, the Dogman Encounters page with Vic Cundiff, his stuff, I have the same guns, but I didn't have enough money to buy one. I was gonna do one of these things.
Yeah, you know what? I change what I say. It's not that if you buy one, you've been listening to too many Dogman stories. I think a more accurate way of saying it would be you can gauge when you've heard too many by your firearm purchases.
Exactly. And he said when he went and picked up at the gun shop, they're awesome. What are you going to Alaska? He's all, no, man. And they're like, what'd you get that for, man? And he's like, and at the end of it, when he goes, I'll tell you when I leave. And when he walks, he goes, Google Taylor, Mississippi, creature. And he walked out the door. He goes, you know, they're all other guys all now are Dogman believers. I'm like, I don't know. It probably sounds nuts to a lot of people.
Yeah, well, it sounded nuts to me for a long time until I knew a couple witnesses. Now I'm just going, what?
Exactly. Yeah, I'm the same boat, man. I know I said it a million times, but.
Here's a question, like a cryptid question for you that kind of came up at the Texas conference. Somebody asked me about rakes. Do you know about these things? I think that's what R-A-K-E. I'm pretty sure that's how you would pronounce it.
Yeah, actually. God, what I do know about them, but I can't. Oh.
And I said, like, I also said that sounded familiar, and I go, what is that? You know? And then he goes, well, look at this. And, you know, he pulled up a picture or some website somewhere. And I'd seen the picture before. I've seen a couple like it. And I've just always assumed they were fake, et cetera, or whatever. But now there's a couple out there then, and who knows, I'm open, but I'm unconvinced still, you know, but basically these rake things are those, they kind of look like an alien. They kind of look like Gollum from Lord of the Rings.
Yes. Actually, dude, I'm doing this clip show, like a TV show this week, actually, later on. I got to fly down to LA in a couple of days.
Oh, good.
Yeah, but that's actually one of the pictures we're going to be discussing on the show.
Yeah, what do you think about those things? Because, that again, like Dogman, this is one of those things that I kind of hope doesn't exist.
You just sound super gullible and kind of dumb if you say, yeah, I think it's possible. You know, I think they could be there. But I think everything's on the table, you know. I'm going to analyze that one a little. Actually, that's when we get out the phone tonight, I got four clips I got to really study the next couple of days. So I've been trying to study, but we haven't had internet or power here, so it's been hard.
But yeah, that whole California power shutdown thing is affecting you.
Dude, it just came on a few hours ago and it's shutting off by 5 a.m.
But you have a wood stove, right?
Yeah, we'll have heat.
You'll have heat. Okay. But but people who have electric heat are just, you know, poop out of luck.
Yeah. A lot of my neighbors, dude, use, which is crazy because we pay this huge surcharge because all the indoor pot scenes up here, they put this giant tax if you go over the baseline, like way higher than anywhere else in the country. So they're screwed. They have no wood. I gave some wood out today to some neighbors just because it's been like in the 30s with north winds. So it's been cold. And these houses are pretty drafty.
Yeah, you live right on the beach, man. Like that's a crazy place to live with no heat.
Yeah, dude, it gets cold, but yeah, we got the fire cranking here. We're doing good on that. So we had hot water tonight, so that's why I was a little late calling you back because I had to take a shower while the shower was good.
Oh yeah, get it. I totally get it.
Oh, but yeah, so anyways, like, I got to study that. I'm going to study that up more tonight. And you know what else we're looking at is that They called it Ibu Gogo, but I don't think it was. Remember that one from Indonesia, Sumatra, the guys on the motorcycles and that homo flirt?
Yeah, totally. I 100% remember that. That was awesome. It had me going there for a little while.
Yeah, but they showed it was a fake.
Well, it's not so much a fake, but it's nothing spectacular. Although it is spectacular in its own ways. It's nothing cryptozoological, you know, or paranormal. Actually, when I got that, I was really intrigued because that I think that came out when I was in the middle of the Orang Pendek project.
Right.
So I sent it to Dolly, my main contact in Sumatra. And I said, hey, man, what do you think this is? It doesn't look – I mean, what do you think? And he wrote back, and I forget the exact words he used, but something to the effect of, oh, yeah, that's like a native tribe here or whatever. They're like rather small or whatever. And yeah, so it's like it's a human, basically.
Yeah.
A small, slender human. Yeah, but definitely not that's not an Orang Pendek, and it's not an Ibu Gogo. It's wrong island for Ibu Gogo, but nonetheless, it's you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, it's a human.
Well, then these other guys were showing some slowed down stills, like, where it looks like the thing got photoshopped kind of somehow, but I don't know. It looks like a person to me, but.
That's what Dolly said it was. And of course, Dolly's opinion is just as valuable as anybody else's without some sort of analysis behind it, which isn't very valuable, unfortunately. Nothing personal to Dolly, you know, but that's the facts. Opinions don't matter much, but I don't know.
Well, I was reading about people that said that they knew what it was. It's this little tribe of people. But then you look up trying to find that tribe, like in just regular, you know, Google through regular searches, like through like any kind of literature, like any university papers on it and stuff. And I'm not finding really anything.
Yeah. And I guess that would be impossible because when we were in Sumatra for finding Bigfoot, I hiked to the top of Gunung Tujuh, like, you know, this giant volcano, you know, and there were teenagers at the top wearing flip-flops taking pictures of me and with flip phones, you know, like they were getting cell phone reception in one of the most remote places on the planet. So seriously, everybody up in Sumatra has a cell phone.
Right.
Actually, probably not. I'm exaggerating, but.
Well, it's just like we're up the Amazon, those just recently contacted tribes. It was Stone Age 15 years ago. The kids were on iPhones, but they'd never been on the internet. They'd never been able to make a phone call. They just used them as cameras.
Oh, that's the tribe that we hung out with, the shaman and that stuff. And, yeah. Right. You know what that tribe's name was?
What?
Tattoo-You.
That's right.
Moneymaker said that there was Rolling Stone fans.
So classic. God, we got to get money on the show. I keep forgetting to call him.
Oh, man, just like the shoulds is in the guest column just keep stacking up.
I will call him tomorrow, guaranteed.
All right. Well, I think I might be in the woods on Thursday or Wednesday night. I'm finally going to break away from the museum for a second and go to the woods before it gets snowed in at the spot.
Yeah, I'll be up on Thursday night, but I just realized that is they're flying me down Halloween day. And we're shooting all day the first. Yeah, because I had a big plans for Halloween. Like that's my favorite thing, you know, of the year is Halloween.
Yeah, Halloween's great. I mean, Melissa is 120% into that. So my life gets taken over by Halloween, whether I want it to or not.
Same in this house. Creed is super into it too.
We went out and had a couple beers with our friend Cody the other night at a local pub in Sandy here, the Nowhere Pub or No Place. That's what it is, No Place Saloon. Cool little place. They had a costume thing. So I got home from work and I fell asleep on the couch for a second. And then I had to throw together a costume in 25 minutes or less and go out with my wife and my friend. So, I look great. A fisherman, a Greek fisherman.
A Greek fisherman, right on.
Yeah. And specifically Greek because of the hat. It says right on the inside of the brim of the hat, Greek fisherman hat. So, I look great. I think it's on my Instagram, if I remember right. I don't know. What are my three social medias? I don't know. I can't keep them all straight. Like, it's just a level of which one's annoying me most today.
A lot of people would be like, man, you're stoked. You're going to be in Hollywood for Halloween? Because I've been down in Hollywood for Halloween before. I mean, the outfits. I mean, it's just an excuse for every wannabe model actress girl down there to wear, like, the sluttiest, you know, reveal all outfit possible.
Right.
So that's pretty sweet. But I'd rather be home, you know, my friends at a really fun party. And we were supposed to go see Rocky Horror Picture Show at midnight. And
that would have been fun.
So now I'm going to be alone studying videos in a hotel
room. Yeah, yeah, rake videos. Loser or winner. I don't know. Depends what game you're playing, I suppose.
Yeah. Oh, dude, if I didn't have to do it, if I didn't need the money, I wouldn't do it.
Work is work, you know, like this thing that we do isn't exactly glamorous.
No, and this job, dude, does not pay at all.
Well, hopefully it pays. I mean, you wouldn't be doing it if it didn't pay at all. You got to make a little bit of money.
My agent refused to even do the contract. He said, you got to handle this on yourself. I'm not signing on to that.
Wow.
I was like, they'll fill up the gas tank a couple times.
Okay. Fair enough.
Dude, gas was right now up here. It's like $4.39, and down there it was $2.09 in Louisiana.
You live in an expensive part of the country.
Yeah.
We both do, but you even more so.
Yeah, it sucks. But man, every time I go back there, especially when I get to Tennessee, I'm thinking, man, I know I've said this about several places, but of all the places, Tennessee mountains, dude, is so nice, and the people are cool. It's just beautiful back there. That's one spot I could move to for sure.
Yeah, there's certain pockets in the South in general that I just absolutely love with all my heart. It's a jungle. It's a squatchy jungle back there, and everybody's rad, and you know, everybody's got their little moonshine thing tucked away, so they're all kind of living under the level of legality and whatever. I love that place. I like people living on the edge of what you're supposed to do, but getting along fine. I love that.
Yeah. And then I think, did we talk about this the last one? We went to John Carter Cash's. He got that property from his father where the wild things are.
I think we briefly spoke about it during a Danny's interview episode.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Just in case I didn't. Yeah. I'm pretty sure we heard one there that night. John heard it, and I think two other guys heard it. The other four guys, whatever, were like farting and standing in dry leaves and moving around. They missed it. we had chili, so but yeah, they're the man. Like, talk about when you think of cool people in the South, like you know, like cool Tennessee, like polite, nice folks. I mean, that I was with the greatest crew of guys. I'm like, dude, this is the place. This is the place. Oh, but I met a screenwriter guy that wants to do a Bigfoot screenwriting thing with me.
Oh, well, good. Chase that. That'd be great. Yeah,
he's a real Hollywood dude.
Nice. Well, anybody who's listening who's a real Hollywood dude, you want to jump on that board, you know, jump on that ship, talk to Bobo, give him an email.
Yeah. Well, this guy is a real Hollywood dude.
Well, right.
He's a real script writer, but if I could find an even more real Hollywood dude.
Yeah, to fund it, that'd be fine, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, this guy he's got couple houses down in Southern California, like one on the beach and one up in the high desert. So I mean, he's doing something right.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. That's cool. Well, hope that works out for you. Hey, what's the new year looking like? Do you have any gigs lined up that you know of?
I just got one, dude, today. I'm going back. Oh shoot, what's it called?
I would, you know, you could tell me and I wouldn't know. Just tell me where it is, and you know,
it's in the very north on the border of Illinois. It's at an Indian casino. Something Wins. Indian casino. It's like an 85-room lodge.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I will be at Starved Rock Lodge January 25th.
Did you say Starve Rock?
Starved, like starving, but past tense.
Oh, the rock. Okay, gotcha. Starved Rock.
Yeah. Starved Rock Lodge. And it's... looks like a cool spot. It's small. It's like most of those casinos we go to are like huge. Mm-hmm. This thing is really small. It's going to be a pretty intimate affair because you know those tribes they got, they'll bring us in and not worry about the crowd so much because it's not like when Woolheater does the Texas conference, it's just him. That's the whole draw. This place, they're making so much money on the casino that they'll pay us just to show up.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, if they hired, you know, Survivor to come out and play music or something like that. You're just like part of the thing that's going on that weekend.
Right, right. Yeah, not the only thing, but just that weekend is like benefit for the whoever, the high rollers or whoever they want. I guess they're going to sell tickets, then the high rollers get in for free type thing.
Right. Are there any other Bigfooters there? Or are you doing a solo thing or what?
Oh, Meldrum's coming.
Oh, cool. Very good. It's always a pleasure to hang out with the good doctor.
I know, dude. Once again, I'm just laughing going, here's this guy, future Nobel laureate.
Yep.
Hang with the Bubs.
Well, does he say, no, you know, Bubs, don't undersell yourself. And I know you're not doing that because you're not the kind. But I think you guys are good for each other.
Right.
I know you both very well, and I think both of you are good for each other. Meldrum could perhaps sometimes use a little bit more Bobo in his life, although he's more Bobo-esque than you might think. And then you might use a little more Meldrum in your life, although you're more Meldrum than anybody suspects.
I need a lot more Meldrum in my life.
Ah, don't undersell yourself. You're more Meldrum than you think.
Thank you. Yeah. This lodge is cool, dude. Like this, pretty like home, like a lot of wood interior, like lots of wood, open beams, like rustic style.
What month is that, or what? When do you know the date in general?
January 25th.
Ooh, January, man! And this is in Illinois. Well, I just googled it, and Starved Rock State Park came up right away.
Looks like it's about an hour west of Chicago.
Oh, good, because you're too close to Chicago and you ran out of Bigfoots.
Right. Oh, I remember that from when we were up there.
Yeah, it seems like Chicago is one of the least squatchy spots around.
It's due south of Rockford, northeast of Peoria. I don't know what that's like in there. Huh. It'll be interesting to find. I'll do some research and see what the if there's any history in around there, if they get any action.
Yeah, it looks like there's a big old river. I'm looking at Google Earth or whatever, or whatever I'm looking at, Google Maps. And it looks like there's a giant old river going through there, whatever that is.
Right. It's way farmland. But look at the Google Earth. We've seen squatches now.
It's the Illinois River. So it's right on the Illinois River? Yeah, there's going to be Bigfoots there sometimes, for sure.
They got at least pass through.
Man, look at all the farms.
Farm. That is all farm.
That's unbelievable, man. Look at that. Now, think back 200 years. That was probably all forested.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, because Ohio and Illinois, right? That was the wilderness back in the day.
Dude, that's about as farmland as you can get.
Yeah, well, there'd be plenty for any big residual Bigfoots in the area.
Oh, they'd be raiding. Yeah, there's plenty of food there. I'm interested to see what they got there as far as reports over the years.
So does that mean you're not doing Squatch Fest?
When's that?
Approximately the last weekend of January.
Oh, shit. Whoops.
I guess not, you know. I mean, a job is a job. They got to you first.
I told them I was going to go do that. I totally spaced that. Shoot, I could have drove out to fly across the country again.
Hey, you know what? I pulled up. I pulled up this Mangani's Bigfoot maps. You know, he'd be an interesting person to talk to. That Google Earth layer, or actually the BFRO Google Earth layer too. There is a Class A sighting at Starved Rock State Park.
What year?
99 or 8. Well, let's see what it says here. It says 80 through 99, memory told of encounters on farm near Ottawa. There's also a Class B in 85. Something in 06 maybe, or I don't know. There's some stuff.
Yeah,
again, right on the river.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, dude, we saw them in Oklahoma where they passed through Oklahoma City on a river at night.
Yeah. Oh, I had 2 days off in a rowboat. But did I tell you that?
No.
Oh my God, it was the first time since July. 2 days off in a row, and even though work came to me, I shunned it.
You didn't go to the museum at all?
Nah, I didn't. And like the guys who called me about the museum, I said, hey, man, you know, this is my first 2 days off in months. Love you. I'll talk to you tomorrow. So
good for you, man. You got to do that.
Yeah, I needed it. I needed it. I was going to do 2 days off this week as well and indulge myself. But the local news station, KOIN in Portland, they're coming out to the museum tomorrow to do some piece on us. So,
oh, great.
Yeah, that's more important than a day off, I guess, is, you know, keeping the business going. It's a fledgling business, after all.
Yeah, you said you had your best day ever just the other day, right?
Yeah, Saturday was outstanding. And, you know, the funny part is, you know, getting close to Halloween and, you know, my wife's totally into Halloween and everything and it's cool. And, you know, we enjoy that stuff. We ran a special. Anybody who showed up in costume can get into the exhibit halls for a discounted price, right? And over the 2-day run, the only people who showed up for that did it accidentally, didn't know about the thing. So, and even then, I think we got 5 over 2 days.
Classic.
Yeah. So, well, all right, whatever. But yeah, we had a good day. So that was very promising. And everybody seems to be really enjoying the exhibits and no complaints. And yeah, everybody's digging it.
So when you ask people how they hear about you, what do they say?
A variety of things. A number of people follow me or whatever on social media. A lot of people heard about it on the news. A shocking number, actually. Shocking to me. A huge number heard about it on the news. I forget that people watch television because I don't tend to turn on the tube very often. Right. Or if I do, it's very targeted, you know? Like I'm gonna watch, you know, this tonight, like a movie or something, you know? It's not like, oh, this is on, I catch it every week, I'm gonna turn that on. But apparently people watch the news and stuff. And a lot of people hear it from their friends. And you know what's really gratifying is for me is a lot of people who come in, a significant percentage of them either have never seen Finding Bigfoot or only vaguely heard of it and have no idea who, you know, that I was on the show, basically.
Oh, great. So you got to answer the same thing over and over.
Well, even more than that, it shows that the museum is its own entity and it's not necessarily cliff dependent.
Right, like how Moneymaker distanced himself from the BFRO when he started that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. Yeah, whatever his motivations might have been. But it's kind of nice, you know, because I want, yeah, exactly. I guess it is in the same sort of way. He didn't want to be the centerpiece. And I don't really need to be the centerpiece for the museum as well, because, you know, it's certainly if ever comes a day that I don't need to be there every day, I would absolutely relish that. But it is a really fun project to do all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm still kicking around the idea of doing that gift shop, Bigfoot gift shop by Redwood National Park. And the more I'm thinking about it, the more I'm like, I don't know.
It's horrifying.
Yeah.
You know, to put so much time, effort, and money into something, and it's a roll of dice, man. It's like you're hoping for that next card to be something good. So.
Well, you don't got nothing to worry about. Yours is. That's guaranteed going to work.
I hope so. I'm becoming optimistic about it. Although we are in the very slowest time of the year right now. So.
Yeah, because you need snow, then the skiers, and you'll start getting more traffic, right?
That's what we're hoping. You know, I mean, we were open. I mean, heck, the exhibit halls weren't even open, but like the gift store was open a month during the summer, you know, August basically. And we did well. We did well enough to, you know, continue forward. It's dropped off significantly after Labor Day, as would be expected. And then the next bump, I think, is going to be probably Christmas, because you know, I mean, my gift store is chock full of squatchy goodness, you know.
Thanksgiving traffic is that whole week, kids are going back and forth up to the mountain.
Yeah, you're right. Right. I always think about the holiday, not the fact that people travel for it, because I try not to. Yeah, you're right. So maybe Thanksgiving would be good. I think Christmas will be good. And then like the ski season in general, I hope that the skiers are kind to us and drop by and say hello. Summer, I'm not worried about. And I hear that winter can be good from the other local businesses up and down Highway 26. They say fall and spring are their slowest times. So we'll see what happens.
Dude, you know what else just happened? Did you see on the news that humpback whale got beached for 3 days?
Did it live? I'm not sure I saw that.
Ended up dying.
Maybe I did then. I remember something maybe about a week and a half ago about a hump. I saw a picture of a humpback that was beached, but yeah, I don't know if that was the same one.
Right in front of my house. It's a long story, like how they blew it, dude. I guarantee you I could have got the thing back in the water with all the people I know, all the commercial fishermen and surfers with wave runners and sand. Like we used to pump pots out, crab pots, and they get stuck in the sand. Because you know, you stand at the edge of the ocean where the waves are washing back and forth. You start sinking, your feet just sink under.
Yeah. That's, I think it's called liquefaction.
Yeah. That's what happens to the crab pots if they sit too long on the sand. They just start, you know, they sink down. They'll be like 10 feet buried sometimes, 10 feet under sand. We clip on We get we'd buy old from the old CDF, California Department of Forestry fired units. You can buy the old pumps that were on the big 4x4 dually, you know, Forest Service fire trucks. You could buy the old water pumps off them, and then you'd just pump seawater through them, and it puts a, you know, you know how much pressure a fire hose has.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd clip it on to the rope, the line that goes down to the buoy to the crab pot. You'd clip it on that line, and you send it down to the bottom, then you turn it on blast, and it blasts the pot out like right away.
So now, what stops it from going back up the rope? Because, you know, the whole, you know, Newtonian thing, you know, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So that should act as like a jet and push the device upwards again, right? Or what stops that?
Oh, God, we had some rig on there that...
Some sort of clamp on the rope, maybe, or something?
Well, no, because it was weighted, and then it was like one of those, yeah, it's like, I guess clamps, what you'd call it. It can go down, but when it starts to go back up, it pinches on itself.
Yeah, like those climby things that I had to do that on Finding Bigfoot with those things for climbing the trees. I don't know what they're called, but rock climbers would know.
Yeah, exactly. It's what, because the weight brings it down, and the brass nozzle, that brings it down, and then when you turn it on, you can't get it off until you pull the pot all the way up and get it to the block, and then you take it off.
Mm. Oh, yeah, so the whale thing.
Oh, yeah, so it's starting to smell.
Oh, it's still out there?
They buried it, dude. Oh, you know what? I'll send it. I'll post it. I'll send it to Jeff, too. I'll put it on my Facebook. I was going to put it on my Facebook page today. 2 days ago, there was literally, I'm not exaggerating, dude, 2 volcanoes bubbling up a stew of whale oil and blood and melted fat because it's baked, because it's been sunny. It's been cold wind, but it's the sun's baking the sand.
So this is bubbling up through the sand itself.
Yeah, like it was like one was like 2 foot across, the other one was about 1.5 feet across diameter.
When did they bury this thing?
Like a few days, like just, it was only buried for like 2 or 3 days, and all of a sudden it just started boiling up, and not like a Mount St. Helens eruption, but like more like the Hawaii Shield volcanoes that just kind of ooze out, like bubbly ooze.
Yeah, like the mud geysers in Yellowstone, perhaps.
That's exactly what it looks like, dude. It looks exactly like those bubbling mud pits, but it's all
blood and sand.
And it's running into the ocean. You're just putting out every great white shark within 100 miles is going to be hanging right in front of the house.
Oh, that's a good opportunity to see one, though.
Oh, dude, these 2 guys went surfing. I was filming. Just, I want to get some shark attack footage so I can sell it to Shark Week.
Oh, well, you know, get a surveillance cam and stick it out there.
I got one pointed there right now, but it's not good enough quality. But with my little camcorder right at the water's edge.
That's one of the coolest, you know, get money fast schemes I've ever heard, Bobo.
Yeah, stick out a whale carcass.
Yeah, I'm gonna get a surfer, like I'm gonna get shark footage with the surfer, sell it to Discovery. You know, people at Discovery, you know, they own Animal Planet.
I could sell it for sure.
But totally. You just have to give them a call, say, hey, get the CEO on the line. This is the Bobes.
Yeah, but man, it really is like the biggest shark attraction I've ever seen.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. I mean, you know, I was thinking perch. You should go out there and fish.
Oh, good idea. I'll send you that video.
Not a bad idea. Oh, I'd love to see it. Absolutely. You know, put it on your Facebook for everybody else to see too.
I will. I'll put it up right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude. It's gonna get bad because you can kind of smell it now, but like another week or something, it's gonna be gnarly.
Did you watch them bury it? Or were you still in Louisiana?
No, I didn't see that.
I would be interested to know how deep they buried it.
I don't think that deep.
Apparently not. Yeah. I have a certain fascination for beached whale carcasses.
You talking about me at the beach?
No, nothing you not you personally. Not even the fat Bobes. Like the former Bobes. No, but there's something about the whales and whatnot. Like you just don't get to see them. You know, unless they're in a distressed situation, it's kind of like fish or Sasquatch for that matter. You just don't get to see them, and they're so interesting looking and, you know, beautiful in some ways and stuff, but a dead one, it's less beautiful perhaps, but you know what I mean?
Well, you should be getting that text, right? It said it's sent.
Oh, you sent me a text? Oh, there it is. Oh yeah. Oh, it just came through actually. What is it? Oh. Oh, that's the soil expanding, the sand. It's just like bile and blood coming out of the soil. Oh, and I'm assuming that's low tide? That's a long ways from the shore.
Yeah. It's going all the way to the water. It's leaking. It's definitely leaking through the sand underneath. Like it's definitely getting into the ocean.
Yeah, you know, that's something. I've never seen that before.
Is that nuts?
That's incredible. Yeah, you got to put that on your Facebook. Yeah. And, you know, by the time this comes out, of course, it'll be a week or two away. So people just dig back on Bobo's Facebook and make sure you follow him or like him or whatever you do.
It'll be on if they're listening to YouTube, it'll be on the YouTube one.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, we should put it on Bigfoot and Beyond. Yeah. I keep forgetting we have Facebook.
I'll put it on all of them.
Yeah.
I know. Dude, I forget that all the time.
We're super lucky we're as popular as we are, Bobo. Thank you, fans, because like we forget to do all that stuff.
I just don't even, it doesn't even cross my mind.
Yeah. Well, I know that I try to put it out on Sunday that, you know, the new one was released or whatever. So I usually do the Facebook stuff, but I forgot this week, I think. I apologize to folks. You know, we could start doing segments too. I was thinking, the two that I was thinking of, one for you and one for me, is like for you is like Bobo story time, and I say, Bobo, tell me about that one time that this happened, and then you go.
Trying to get me arrested, Cliff?
No. That's appropriate stuff, you know. Like something tonight. Like I was gonna say, oh yeah, tell me about that one time that you almost drowned when you swam out and tried to save monkey from the waves.
That's exactly where the whale's buried.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, that's what made me think of it actually.
Should I tell that story right now?
Yeah, why not? Why not? Bobo story time. Yeah, I think that would be a good thing. Like maybe Pruitt. Like I know you're listening. What do you think about like maybe a special song little ditty or like a voice ditty or something like that, kind of introducing Bobo's story time or something like that? I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, gather around, it's Bobo's story time. Dude, he's gonna say some things that'll blow your mind. Classic. And if you say he's lying, he's gonna kick your behind. Story time.
Any description of felonious or criminal activity is being told here strictly for entertainment purposes and is in no way an admission of guilt or even true for that matter.
We had just come back down from up at Bluff, and it was we'd been hot and everything. We'd been in poison oak, and she was covered in poison oak, and I didn't want her coming in the house with it. So we got back. It was a Friday night. It was like June. And generally in June, there's not like big swell. You know, like maybe the first week of June, we get like a big wind swell, but this was like mid to late June, and there was no moon. And we get back, and I got to wash her off, so I just take her down to the beach, and I throw the stick in like shallow water and get her all wet. She'll get soaked in the salt water, and then I take the wet sand and rub her, and it takes, you know, I don't have to use soap or anything. It takes all the poison oak off. So I was throwing the stick out, and I could hear water rumbling. I was trying not to throw the stick too far, just in case, you know. But I was thinking, monkey body surfed and stuff. Monkey was in the ocean all the time. Like, she was a total water dog for not being bred that breed. She was a total water dog, and I was like, God, you know, she's not even getting wet. She's only getting her paws wet. So I threw the stick like an extra 15 feet, and I just heard this big rumble sound. I'm like, oh man, there's a wave coming. I'm yelling for monkey, and she's looking for the stick. It's starting to get sucked back at the sea. There's just enough water to pull the stick back out to sea, like, you know, at the wave slope. And she's charged. I'm going down. I'm screaming at her to come back. But also this huge thing of whitewash just comes shooting up the beach. Monkey's gone. like she's just gone. And I could hear the rumble. It's like a big set breaking. And I found out later the swell was 14 feet at 13 seconds.
Oh my God.
Which is pretty big. Both those numbers
are disappointing.
What's that?
Both those numbers are disappointing. Like if you're hoping your dog's going to survive.
Yeah. 13 seconds. You're starting that long interval period where there's a lot more water moving, and 14 feet, you know, that's a pretty good amount of, that'll get some good rips and stuff going. And
that's a huge volume. Just like imagine the not the mass, you know, but the volume of water shooting out through these riptides and whatever. It, like in that, like, I don't know, man. Humboldt Surf scares the hell out of me. So yeah, Monkey's far braver than I am.
I stripped down butt naked. I was talking on the phone to Ranger Letterman, Robert Letterman from the Redwood State Park Ranger.
Yeah.
I go, dude, if I don't call you back in 20 minutes, call the Coasties. This is where I'm at, Samoa Beach. Tell them I'm swimming out there and come pick me up in the chopper. And so I dove in the water, but took all my clothes off, dove in butt naked, started swimming out there. Oh, no, there was a little bit of moon. It was just cloudy because every once in a while the moon would pop out. And I swam out there, and then all of a sudden I'm swimming out. And dude, the waves were like 20-foot face. Like, it was big. It was like triple overhead.
Yeah, because you know, if you don't live near the ocean, you may not know this. They measure the size of the wave by the backside. Is that correct, Bobo?
Basically, the breaking face is usually 50 to 100% or more bigger than 50 to 150%, whatever the swell is. Like they say, 13 at 14, and the bigger the interval, like 14 seconds. Imagine a triangle. If you have a triangle and the bottom of it's 14 feet long versus a triangle that's, you know, if it's 14 feet tall, the 13 foot base, or if it has a 20 foot base, how much more water would take to fill up that volume? That's kind of how you can look at it. So 14 at 13, there's a lot of volume in that. But yeah, 14
sounds like math.
Yeah, it could, a 14 foot swell can, at the right break, and throw up a 25, 30 foot face on the sets.
Yeah, but basically because the water is pushing in from behind the wave, and so like the shoulders of the wave, like the thing pushing it is bigger than the front side where the surfer would be or whatever.
Right, and the gravity collapses the top. And,
yeah, a yeah. lot of physics going on.
So, dude, I'm swimming out there, and I'm like, oh, man. And like it was cold, like the water's, you know, like 48, 49, something like that. I'm never going to find her. It's freaking – and I'm – at this point, because it's hard to hold your breath when you're freezing, you know, because my teeth are already starting to chatter a little bit.
Well, and your nuts are putting pressure on your lungs too.
Oh, big time, dude. I was kind of, but I was in pretty good shape. I'd been surfing a lot that winter, but I hadn't been surfing for probably a month or month and a half too much. I'd been up in the woods mostly, so I was a little bit not in the best shape. I mean, I was better than most people. I mean, I survived it. So I was
like seven out of 10. Like what kind of shape were you in?
Probably 7 or 8.
Okay.
I'd surfed a ton that winter. So I was swimming. I'm swimming and swimming. And I look back and I can see the lights of the town and stuff. I'm like, man, I am far out at sea. Like I'm way. I started getting nervous. Like, how am I going to get, back in? And I'm starting to swim and I get out and I'm in the rip and I get far enough out where I'm kind of out past the breakers. They're breaking to the side of me, and I'm in the rip in the channel. And I'm like, I started yelling, monkey, monkey, and nothing. So I start swimming. So I start swimming south because it was a north swell, northwest swell. And I start swimming south. And lo and behold, I hear this monkey coughing with the stick in her mouth. And she's swimming out there.
Like, God damn it, I got the stick.
Yeah.
That's all that mattered in that moment.
Yeah, she's drowning. She's going to hold on to the stick. So I got the stick out of her mouth, and I ended up throwing it in front of her so she'd swim towards it. It's all she wants. She scratched the shit out of me, too. So we go swimming, and I swim her into the breakers the next peak down. And I'm like, so right when the wave is about to hit us, I mean, we're right in the impact zone, basically. I blow on her because I heard that you just grab their muzzle, close it shut, and you blow on their nose and it makes them hold their breath. Mm. So I blew on her nose real hard, went, which was kind of dumb because then I ran out of air. That was my breath to hold for when the wave came.
Oh yeah, that also makes you less buoyant.
Yeah, exactly. That's, people don't realize how buoyant your lungs make you, like a breath full of air.
Yeah, it's like I have a life jacket on, or I don't, depending on if your lungs are full or not.
Right. It really is that dramatic. And so I blew into her mouth like, whew. Then I ducked under. We just got blasted. I was holding onto her collar, and I was going to break her neck. I let go, and we're just getting ragdolled. And then we come up, whatever. I come up in monkey. In the moonlight, I see her dog paddling, and she's coughing and coughing. She'd swallowed water. It's like, oh shoot, man. So I got back over to monkey, and I was able to swim just fast enough to stay in front of her, and I was staying in the impact zone. So we got washed in some more. We kept getting hit by big waves, but each one pushed us further and further in. Then we get near the shore. And there was a cross lateral current going from the north to the south. There's like a deep perch hole, you know, those perch holes out there that are drop offs.
Yep.
And yep. So we hit that thing. And there was a lateral current just ripping down the beach. And we were trying to swim. I'm trying to get monkey. I probably could have got in without her, but I wasn't going to leave her. And so
she's the whole reason you were there.
Yeah. So I'm going, come on, monkey, come on. And at this point, I've been in the water for probably 8 to 10 minutes, maybe something like that. 7 to 8, 10 minutes
in 48 like, degree water.
Yeah. And I'm like,
yeah, so your core temperature is dropped. You're probably having trouble with like a dexterous manipulation of things. Like, not that you were like out there sewing or something like that, but you know what I mean? Like you're even swimming, you know, using your arms and legs effectively would probably be difficult at this point.
Yeah. Well, we got swept and we didn't get out of the current before we hit the outgoing current going back out in between the breaking waves, and that sucked us. But we still got hit by we got pounded in there a little bit, then we got sucked out, and it was the end of the set, so we didn't get pounded on the outside. Then I swam into the next peak down breakers, and we're just drifting the whole time, drifting south. But I noticed there's some bonfires on the beach. There's a big bonfire, like a small bonfire. There's a big crowd there, and I'm like, oh, well, they can't help me. They could never, because the surf was so loud, they could never hear me or anything. They wouldn't be able to help or nothing.
And you know what? You're naked.
Yeah. So we come in the second time. We're coming in like, monkey, come on. And I was grabbing by the collar, and she's trying to climb up on me and all that stuff, you know, scratching me. And I was like, oh, monkey, you're killing me, man. Like, literally.
Literally, yeah, like double drowning sort of killing you.
Yeah, so then we swam it. Same thing happened, dude. Lateral current. We didn't make it out. Got sucked back out. Now we're down at the third peak. We passed the bonfires. And I yelled a couple times, like, hey, you know, no one heard anything. Then we get sucked down so this is the third time we're coming in. I swim her back into the impact zone. And I'm glad I did go, because she would have never have got out on her own, dude. She was swimming the wrong way. And so I got her to come in again. And this time, I didn't let go of her. We got swept in. I just swam like with holding my arm out in front of me with her, like pointed towards the beach with my hand, holding on to her collar, holding her in front of me. Then I was swimming and kicking with one hand and kicking with both feet and just kind of bobbing my head up and down, getting breath, going in. Then we were getting swept in that lateral current again. We got way inside. Dude, we were getting swept out like a half mile to sea each time. And then getting pushed back in, like pounded back in. And this last one, I was like, this is it, monkey. Like, I just remember going, like, my parents would freaking kill me if I died swimming, you know, out in the ocean in the middle of the night.
Well, I mean, how do they really expect you to go prematurely?
Well, I just thought, I can't. I go, I love monkey, but I can't put my parents, like, my parents would be too bummed out if I got killed right now. So I said,
Okay. I wasn't there. Yeah, I wasn't thinking that way.
Yeah, so I said, all right, monkey, you got to do it yourself. Let's go. I just yelled for it, and I just put my head down and swam super hard, and I barely got through the current. Like, I barely made it. Like, I was, collapsing when I got out of the water. I was just in shock. I'm like, monkey's gone. No, I didn't see her, didn't hear her coughing, and then it was cloudy right then, so I couldn't even really see much. And I walked up the beach and just staggered up and, like, kind of crawled out of the last part of the water and just collapsed on the ground, freezing, chattering teeth. Just
totally butt naked. What time of night?
It was 10, 10:30. I think I went in about 10. By the time I got back to where I was started, it was like 10:30.
Okay.
It was something like that. It was a half hour. And so I'm sitting there just freezing. And then who comes popping up? Monkey comes up out of the water.
Yay.
And she's coughing and hacking and coughing up water and coughing up water, but still looking for stuff for me to throw.
Did she lose her stick?
Yeah, I took it away from her. I had to hide it from her.
She never got it back.
No, she would have probably went back in the ocean looking for it. But so then I had to go. And then I'm walking down the beach. I could see it's a huge party at this bonfire. And it turned out it was like a bunch of Eureka High kids, like the football team and stuff down there partying, end of the school year stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm walking down and then I see there's these two girls like talking like down by the water line. And that's where I'm walking. I'm like, oh no. And I'm like, hey, I just got swept up to see. They start screaming and ran. Yeah.
You're the next naked guy to walk right up on them that night on the beaches of Humboldt.
Right.
So I with a dog.
I go walking past and all of a sudden they go screaming back at the camp. Then all of a sudden there's like 30 drunk high school football players coming down there to kick the pervert's ass. I'm like, hey, and you know, of course Monkey, they don't even pay. I said, I just rescued my dog. And they're like, anyone else would be like, oh, can we help you? And they're just like, kids are trying to punch me. And I'm like pushing them back. Like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Then I go, yeah, man, hey, I'm Bubba. I live right. Then this one kid that's surfing, he goes, no, hey, that's Bubba. Hey, Bubba. I go, yeah, yeah, man. And like, I'm like dodging these blows and like drunk kids, like, you know, and I'm pushing them back and I was getting hit on the arms and stuff. Then he goes, and then he jumps up. He's like, this is my friend, man. Stop, stop, stop. And he stopped.
Just knew you from like the surfing circles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, this is long before the show, like before you're some weirdo Bigfooter, like before the show. So.
Yep. So he stopped him, and like, but some like, but you know how it is, like in a big drunken high school scene, like some of the macho guys that didn't hear what was going on still wanted to kick my ass, and so it was this whole ordeal to get past that crowd, trying to hold my hand over my ween, because it was embarrassing shrinkage in that temperature. and so I finally got back to my clothes, and I called Letterman. He's like, I was just calling the Coast Guard, you know. He's like, you said 20 minutes, but I thought, you know, you might be a little bit late. And he's like, I was just calling 911 when you called back. And I was just frozen. I was just chattering teeth, got my clothes on and stumbled back up to the house.
Wait, your clothes were on the beach when you went back up towards your house?
Yeah, but I mean, we had drifted at least a third of a mile down the beach.
Oh, yeah. I'm not at all surprised, man. Again, and like most of the people probably listening don't have an ocean near you, but the side current at any incoming waves is phenomenal. It'll push you against your will as far as it wants, and it's astonishing the distance sometimes in like a short period of time.
Oh, it's a river. It's that lateral current along the coast near the shore. It's literally a river. I mean, it's flowing like at 7-8 knots.
I've spent a few nights at your house in my life, Bobo, and like when you've been off during the day to work or whatever you're doing, and I'm walking on the beach, I'm horrified and just scared pantsless about the ocean that is in front of your house. The side currents would take you, drown you, and still move your corpse, 3 miles before anybody would find it. It's fast, it's furious, it's dangerous, and almost aggressive.
Yeah, they probably only find about half the drowning victims because it just takes you so far. Yeah, it was intense, dude. It was one of my closest calls with death. Like, I remember, like I almost didn't get out that third time, and there was no fourth time. I did not get out that. There was a couple second window where it could have went either way. I was that close to getting back out in the outgoing current, going back away from the beach instead of just sideways to the beach. And I just put my head down and just went, whoa, and did that burst. And Monkey must have done the same thing after I took off. She probably got that burst too. And I don't know how she got out there because she was already going back out to sea at that point.
The only thing I would guess would be more important to her than like a stick or a ball is you.
Right.
You know, and it's probably you going, oh, look what daddy's doing. He's swimming towards the beach. I better do that too, because I'm a dog and that's like what I'm programmed for.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
That was a pretty crazy night. So yeah, that was right where that, I must've met the same fate as that whale in the same spot.
Yeah. Two different pale bloated corpses on the beach at different times.
That was my dad seen me that one time when I was really fat, and he came down to watch me surf, and he goes, "God, it looks like that surfboard's a slab of ice, and you're some large marine mammal laying on it up in Alaska." So my surfboard was white, and I was wearing a black wetsuit.
and pardon me, but how is Fireball doing?
He's all right. He's cruising.
Good, good. I love that guy.
Oh, he's the best. He's freaking hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. Well, I guess we filled in a story time tonight.
Yeah, totally. And you know what? I think that's a great segment. You're a great storyteller. It's fantabulous, and we can find lots of things to talk about.
Well, right on, Cliff. I know you got to get up early and go to the museum tomorrow, so I'll let you get back to it.
Yeah. Well, actually, I don't. Tomorrow's my day off. I'm doing coin news tomorrow, so it'll be a big day.
Oh, right on. I'll check it out. I'll look it up on the internet tomorrow night.
Yeah, the internet machine will have it for sure.
Yeah. Give me a picture on that internet machine.
Right, right.
Oh, that's what I love going to the South. Those old-timey folks say, "Make me a picture."
Make me a picture. Well, that's Spanish too. Like if you translate, actually Spanish is sacarme un fotografía, which is like take me out a photograph.
That's weird.
It is weird, but it's interesting to speak another language because it gets you inside their head.
Right, right.
A photograph.
Take me out of a photograph. Sound like yams now.
Oh, yams. Love that guy.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. All right, Cliff. Well, good luck on the news tomorrow.
Thanks so much.
All right, folks. Well, thanks for tuning in. That's another broadcast of Bigfoot and Beyond with Cliff and Bobo. And as always, if you're not subscribed, please hit subscribe, share, put up on your pages, let your friends know about it. We appreciate it. Until next week, stay squatchy.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Bigfoot and Beyond. If you liked what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes. Subscribe to Bigfoot and Beyond wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Bigfoot and Beyond Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Bigfoot and Beyond, that's an N in the middle, and tweet us your thoughts and questions with the hashtag Bigfoot and Beyond.